Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Amen. Who wants to hear from God this morning? Anybody else? Did y'all hear me in the back? Who wants to hear from God this morning? Anybody else? Yeah, that's why we come here. Like, we don't want to just hear from a man. You don't want to just hear from me. We each want to hear from the Lord this morning, and we believe that he is speaking at all times. And so I'm excited about what he's going to teach me in our time here together this morning, and what he's going to teach each one of us. Did anybody come on Noah's Ark to church this morning? Anybody else? Yeah. Praise God for some sunshine in the house today. I'm so excited that we have hopefully got past some of the rain. My name is Derek. I'm the lead pastor here. It's such a privilege to lead this church. It's such an honor. Today, I want to start out with giving you a couple names up on the screen. I'd love for you to write these down, or if you have your phone, you can grab a picture of these three. And I would love for you to go home on your computer later today and look up each one of these three. They're significant people in our culture. This first one is Lonnie Johnson. He's an aeronautical engineer. And if you're a child of the 80s or 90s, you're going to know one of the things that he invented. And this is really cool. He is the inventor of the Super Soaker. Anybody remember the Super Soaker? Yeah, how many? Yeah, you remember that. You pump it up, it pressurizes, it then releases. Incredible guy. He came up with that technology as he was working for the Air Force. And then, in his brilliance, he sold that to a toy company for $74 million. Anybody else sound like that's a good retirement plan? Yeah, right? So he's a cool guy, and so he's impacted your life, whether you've known it or not. And then we got Dr. Shirley Jackson. She's a theoretical physicist. Anybody know what that even means? That just means she's really smart, I think is what that means. And she actually helped to develop touch-tone phones and caller ID. Now, if you're a child of the 80s or 90s, you know what that is. If you're a child of the 2000s, you don't even know what a touchtone phone is, but that's all right. And so this lady has greatly influenced our culture in the way that we communicate for decades. A brilliant, brilliant lady. She's still alive. And this last one is one that's really interesting. His name is Henry Sampson Jr. He served in the Navy. He was a PhD nuclear engineer, another wicked smart dude. And he actually developed the technology that enabled us to have cell phones, right? So he actually came up, actually had a patent that was used, I believe, by Motorola to actually have the first cell phone. And so has greatly influenced our lives. But I'm guessing most of you have never heard of these three inventors, these three brilliant people. And there's a couple of reasons why I wanted to mention these today, and you're gonna hear a couple of them. But first, this month is Black History Month. And I love that, because what I view as Black History Month, it's an opportunity for me to learn and to give honor. And so all of us, man, we should want to learn. We should want to honor an amazing group of people in our country that have had amazing influence in our society. And what's interesting about all these three culture changes is that all three of them are Black. All three of them are African Americans and have done incredible things for our nation and our culture. And so this morning, I just wanted to honor them and to challenge you that as we close out this Black History Month, for you to be a learner and not approach it like you know everything, all right? And so I encourage you, maybe go home and check out these men and women and how they influence our society. But the other reason I wanted to mention these three is because each one of them are inventors. And to be an inventor, that means you can't think inside of a box where everybody else has thought of, right? Like, if I want to be an inventor and I only think of what has already been created, I'm not ever going to actually invent anything. I'm just going to keep doing the same thing. And so an inventor has to broaden out their understanding, has to be open to things that have never been done before, right? Before there was ever a Super Soaker, it had to go into the mind of Lonnie, and then he had to actually produce a prototype, right? He thought outside of the box of what was already known. And that's what we're doing in this series, In a Box, where we're looking at, man, is it possible that you and I have somehow in our understanding of God and our belief system towards God, that we have limited, not God, as if we could do that, but we've limited how we actually experience and have relationship with God. So the proverbial, we have sometimes put God in a box. And in this series, what we're trying to do is we're trying to blow up some boxes. Amen to that? We're trying to view God in an accurate, correct way, and we're trying to broaden out our understanding of him so that we can see him for who he is. And so that's what we're doing in this series. And in this series, I told you, there's gonna be some Sundays where you might get a little uncomfortable in your seat, which I think is a good thing, because if Jesus was here, I'm guaranteeing you, if he was preaching, there would be Sundays where you're squirming in your seat and you're looking for an exit door. That's who Jesus was. He wasn't afraid of calling a spade a spade and calling out truth. And so in this series, there's gonna be times where you might get a little, and I'm just asking you, just be open, and I'm asking you just to hang with me. And as I said last week, test everything with the scriptures. Everything with the scriptures. You should be doing that all the time anyhow. Everything with the scriptures. As I was thinking about what I was talking about today, I was thinking back to elementary school, and you remember Show and Tell? Anybody else remember Show and Tell? Yeah, a couple of you went to an actual school, I guess. No, nobody's interacting today. Anybody remember Show and Tell? Come on, give me a little hands, a little action, interaction here. And so what I know about Show and Tell is the how that thing goes that I bring to show the class, that I've, you know, brought to the class. What is actually gonna happen in the class and how people view it is gonna be based on a couple people's reaction. Like the popular crowd, the influential crowd, however they view the thing that I bring is gonna dictate how the rest of the room actually interact with that thing. And so if I bring this incredible, let's say, man, back in 1990, I brought a smartphone. And a couple kids in the class thought it was the stupidest thing in the world. They didn't like me, and so they started, you know, saying it was weird and it had no value and that, you know, my mama gave it to me, you know those jokes in elementary school. What is gonna happen in that classroom? Everybody is gonna jump on that bandwagon and gonna view it the same way, right? And I think, as I've been thinking about this, I think it's the scheme of our enemy, Satan. I think that is how he oftentimes works in the church. See, he takes something that's really good, a gift from God, and he says, God gives it to us, and then what happens is we start to have this narrative about this thing, and we begin to believe that it's really weird, that it's been used wrongly, and so what we do is we begin to move ourselves away from that thing that God said is good. And so what we're gonna talk about over the next couple weeks are things that maybe in your background you've not been privy to, you've not been around, or maybe in your understanding of God, like it could no way be from God. But what I wanna challenge you is let's go to the scriptures and let's see what it looks like and what God says about some of these things. And so the thing that I'm bringing to the class today is my second message on prophecy. And I know in the room when I say that, you know, there's a gambit of emotions. There's, you know, are we going down the wacky train day? You know, people are thinking that right now, and that's okay. God loves you anyhow. And then there are people like, it's about darn time that we talk about prophecy, right? We have both ends of the spectrum here. And so where I wanna be biblical. Does anybody else wanna be biblical? Like that's what we wanna be in this series. And so today my hope is to open up prophecy, because this is what it is. I gave you this definition last week. Prophecy is, it's communicating under the influence of the Holy Spirit about what God desires to do. This is the simplicity of it. This is really what it boils down to. I hear from God, and I communicate that to somebody else. That's the simplicity of prophecy. And it's not just a New Testament thing. It's not just a after Pentecost. It's actually throughout all the scriptures. I want you, if you have your Bible, go ahead and pull it out. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 14. We're gonna be there in three jumps from now, but go ahead and land there. I'm gonna show some scriptures up here on the screen. But in Numbers, all the way back to the engineer's favorite book of the Bible, Numbers, we see that Moses has led out the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, and he's walking around in the wilderness, and God is meeting their needs by putting down what they called manna all over the ground, and they would go out in the morning, they would gather that, and then they'd go back and they would make their food for the day. And so amazing system, like you just go out, you pick it up off the ground, you take it back in, you process it, and then you have provision. But as they're eating this, I think on like the fifth or sixth day, they're like, can we get something other than manna? Some of your kids say this, like, can we please eat something other than a turkey sandwich? Anybody else kid ever say that? Yeah, I'm like, no, that's what I bought. That's what Mama bought. You're gonna eat it. But they're complaining. They're like, man, we want some meat. Like, give us some meat. But we just have this manna. And so they're frustrated. They're complaining. They're voicing their opinion. And Moses is getting really frustrated. And so he goes to God. And he says, man, you gotta help me out. I need some help here. And so God tells him to gather 70 people, 70 other men, and bring them in to help lead the Israelites. And so what God says to Moses is that, hey, bring these 70 men in. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the Holy Spirit that's upon you, and I'm going to actually put it on all 70 of these men, and they're going to be able to lead. And so he gathers 70 men. They hear from the Lord. They hear him speak. And what God does is he takes the Holy Spirit that's upon Moses, and he puts it on all of them. And what happens in Numbers 11 is they begin to what? They begin to prophesy. And so we see the first link. When the Holy Spirit comes, we oftentimes see the gift of prophecy used even back in Numbers 11, right? Now, Numbers 11 happens, and so 70 men, and so that's all great, but it didn't stay upon them, so they don't continue to operate in the Spirit. But then some little squealer, I mean, somebody that wanted to tell on somebody else, you guys know that you probably have that person in your life. Somebody comes up to Moses and says, hey, Moses, there's two more men that are in the, this guy raises his hand, he's the squealer. No, man. I'm joking. I'm not saying that over you. No, speak that against that. Anyhow, this guy comes up to Moses and says, hey, there's two men that are in the camp. They never came out, and they're still prophesying. And Joshua is a good friend, and the compadre, I don't know if that's a biblical word. I don't know, compadre, that's probably not the right language. Anyhow, a friend of Moses, his right-hand man, and he says, Moses, do you want me to go tell them to stop? Because they're not with us right now, yet they're prophesying under the Spirit of God. You want me to have him stop? And look what 11:29 says. He said, but Moses said to Joshua, are you jealous for my sake? Like, why are you jealous? Is it just for me? And look what he says. He says, would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Now just think about this. This is Moses, like way before Jesus, way before you and I. And this was his hope, that one day God would pour out his Spirit on all of God's people, and that they would what? Prophesy, right? This was Moses' hope way back then. Now, if we fast forward, remember, you're in 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to get there in a moment. But last week, we talked about Acts chapter 2, which was what we've referred to as the day of Pentecost. Jesus told the 120 to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And so they're there waiting. And on Pentecost, what we see in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes down upon them and clothes them in power. And some things start moving in this group of people. Now, I'm going to hit this passage again because it's important for us to see. So in Acts chapter 2, what we see, I'm going to read it right here actually. We see that Peter stands up and he says, for these people are not drunk. Remember, it's early in the morning, 9 a.m. in the morning. They're not drinking. Don't think that. This is what's happening. And he breaks down what was told about in the Old Testament. So Moses talked about this day that all would have the Spirit rest upon them and they would prophesy. Joel, one of the prophets, also spoke. And so Peter says, what's actually happened is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Look at Acts chapter 2 on the screen here. It says, for these people are not drunk. Then he goes in verse 17, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Everybody say all. All. That word literally means all. All flesh. He said, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on your male servants and your female servants. In these days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall what? We can say that word in church. It's okay. Say that again. Prophesy, right? And so Joel speaks into this, says this is going to be a day that's going to come, echoing what Moses had prayed about. And what Peter stands up and says, we have now entered into the last days. And we are still in the last days, because the last day is the day when Jesus returns, right? So between Pentecost and when Jesus returns, we are in that same time period where the Spirit's been given to us, where we're seeing the kingdom come in power and love, and yet Jesus has not returned to completely fulfill it. Right? We're in that season. And he says that all flesh will receive this outpouring of the Spirit. Now if you're in 1 Corinthians 14, this is the meat today that I want to dive into. So if you grab your Bible, grab your phone, wherever you got. I want you to underline some things that I was reading through the scripture today, because it's really important that we have some understanding of what's going on here. Whoa, that's a Bible right there in my hand. Sorry about that. 14, 1 Corinthians 14. So this is a letter that a man named Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and he's addressing some specific questions they have, some specific struggles that this church is having. So it's like if he wrote a letter to us, it would address specifics to our local body, but it also is big enough so that it would also affect and implications on other churches as well, and for us today. And so this is what Paul writes. So he writes in chapter 12, he talks about the spiritual gifts. Chapter 13, he talks about love. And then chapter 14, we see the combination of both. He says in 14, he says, pursue love. Go after it. Go get it. Make it your priority. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may what? Prophesy. So I want to make sure we're on the same page. So Paul says, listen, pursue love. Because in the chapter before that, 13, he says, listen, you can do some incredible things, but if you do it void of love, it's not from God. So don't do that. Make sure love is at the root of everything that you say, everything you do. And then he says, he actually opens up, he says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Now, what is he talking about there? Now remember, this is a letter, an individual letter sent to a church. And so all they would have had at this time was this one letter. And so what Paul is referencing about spiritual gifts is what's found in 1 Corinthians 12. And I would encourage you to go back and look at that today. There's a list. It's not an all-encompassing list of spiritual gifts, but it is a representative list of the spiritual gifts. And so he references this, you should desire the things that I just told you about in what we know as chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And then he said, especially desire what? Prophecy, right? He had a ton of value for prophecy, for this idea that we can operate under the influence of the Spirit and we can speak out. Now we're going to continue because I think it's really important for us to break down some of the notions of what we think prophecy is. So verse 2, it says, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries to the in the Spirit. And so what that's talking about is when we speak in a prayer language, we're talking to God. It doesn't do any value for those that are around us. And then verse 3, this is where we see, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, their encouragement, and their consolation. If you have your Bible, I want you to underline those three things. This is the crux of what I want to hit today. That prophecy we see in the New Testament, it always leads us to build others up, to encourage others, and to comfort or to console other people. And I want to tell you, if somebody comes up to you and they say, man, I feel like I heard the Lord and I want to share something to you, and it doesn't build you up, it doesn't encourage you, or it doesn't comfort you, listen, you have full authority as a child of God to say, no, that's not from God, and still love that person, all right? Because what we see in the New Testament is prophecy always encourages, it always builds up, it always comforts. This is what we see, right? Now, when we think about prophecy, we think of like an old man with a beard, right? Like a prophet coming into town, maybe with a big like stick in their hand. Like we think Moses and all these things. And we think like this is just for the uber religious, right? The super spiritual. But I want to just break down some of those paradigms or maybe some experiences you've had in past churches and where you've seen it not done well. I want you to know that prophecy is as normal as breathing for a follower of Jesus. I mean that. That it's a normal part of our life where we hear the Lord and we share with humility what he's doing. And I was thinking about all the different times that I've experienced prophecy in a really normal way, in a really uplifting way. And I was thinking back to a time where I was preaching in Houston at an incredible church that I was at. And at that church, there was a member there that was a person who was known all around the world for their preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Like, everybody knew this person, and I didn't really meet this person. I kind of crossed paths a little bit, but I was always scared to death that they would come and they'd sit in the first row when I'm preaching. Like, wouldn't that scare you a little bit if you had went to your job and the best person in the world was right there in front of you, and like, go ahead and do your thing, right? That scared me, honestly. And so one day I'm preaching on a Sunday morning, which makes sense that I preach on a Sunday morning. I don't know why I gave you that detail, but I was preaching on a Sunday morning, not a Wednesday afternoon, I don't know. But I was on a Sunday morning, I was preaching, and I was talking about hearing the voice of God and submitting to what he was saying. And so I was preaching about this, and I finished up, and I prayed, the service ended, and I'm walking behind the stage, and I hear somebody say, Derek, Derek. And I knew the voice because I'd heard that voice on TV and on the radio. And I'm like, uh-oh. And so I turn around and I walk towards this person that I think highly of. And so they come up to me and they said, man, that was such a great sermon. I was like, man, well, thank you. Like, I'm like, do I like shake your hand? Like, what do I do? Like, it's somebody you think a lot of. And I'm interacting with this person. And then they did something interesting. They said this. They said, if you will keep a balance of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, because they're not against each other, fully complement one another. If you will preach and if you will lead in a way where you have the Spirit of God and the Word of God, God is going to do some incredible things in your life. And you know what that was in that moment, what that person was doing? Prophesying. You see, it's not weird, guys. It doesn't have to be, thus saith the Lord. I would actually question if one of y'all come up to me and said, thus saith the Lord. I'm probably, no, probably not, bro. Not happening. Right? Right? See, prophecy is a normal thing, and this is why it's so normal, and this is why I want to preach on it, why I take a whole Sunday, actually two Sundays now, to talk about it, is because prophecy is a gift from God to the church and is intended to build up, to encourage, to comfort, and to stir our faith in Jesus. Can somebody say amen to that? Like, if this is what prophecy is, shouldn't we all want more of that in our life? If this is what it does, I think all of us could use some encouragement, amen? I think all of us could be built up, amen? I think all of us need some comfort, amen? All of us need some faith stirred up in this room. And I'm telling you, one of the good gifts from God to his people for our good is the gift of prophecy. Despite how you've experienced it, despite how you've seen it done in the past that maybe left a sour taste in your mouth, I'm telling you, we want to be a church that redeems it, that we want to see a church, be a church that restores this incredible gift from a good God who has good plans for us. So we see this in the scriptures, that it is a good gift, that it builds up, that encourages. And we see actually in 1 Thessalonians, another letter that Paul wrote to a different church, he writes this with a little bit more of a jab to it. Look what he wrote in 1 Thessalonians. He says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. So you know what, in our terms of what we're talking about, don't put the Holy Spirit in a box. That's what he's saying. Don't quench him. Don't put down what he wants to do. Don't say no. And then he says, one of the ways that we don't quench is that we shouldn't despise what? Prophecies. We don't reject them. We don't just say we're not going to do that. Because when we do that, we're actually quenching the Holy Spirit that he's given us to lead us and guide us. He says, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Now, he gives us some incredible truth here. He says that prophecy is good. That's good. But he says to test everything. Do you know why we need to test everything? Because prophecy is powerful, but it's not perfect. I want you to write that down, especially if you're like, man, I feel like I've got a prophetic gift. That's great. I affirm that. But listen, you need to hear this. Prophecy is powerful, but it is not perfect. We are imperfect beings trying to speak what God is speaking to us. And sometimes we muddy the waters. And so every time somebody says, man, I've been praying for you and I want to share this with you, we should receive that and be excited about that, but we should always test it. Because what Paul says is, man, we know in part and we also, what, prophesy in part. And so because of that, guess what we have to do? That every time somebody comes up and says, hey, I was praying for you and I heard this, or before you go and say, hey, I was praying for you and I felt like the Lord was leading me to this, what we have to do is we have to submit that word to the scriptures. Because this is God's perfect word, and we have to submit our imperfect words to his perfect word. And that doesn't mean you're going to find your exact scenario in this word, right? But you're going to find God's heart. You're going to find how God works. And we've got to submit everything and test everything according to this, and we have to do it in community. This is why community is so important, because we need other people to say, yeah, that sounds like God, or nope, that doesn't sound like God, right? Now, here's a couple things I'm going to fly through. So if you want to take a picture of these screens, I'm going to fly really fast because I want to get to my last two points here. This is how you land a plane really quickly. We're going to watch this happen right now. And so here's don'ts of prophecy. Like, if you want to operate in this gift, which I think we all should, here's some don'ts. Don't use manipulative or weird language. Don't lead by saying, man, this is what God told me. Thus saith the Lord. Don't do that. That's manipulation. And here's what I want to tell you. If it really is from the Lord, he will make it known. You don't have to justify and clarify in your words. If I feel like I hear the Lord and I go to somebody like Barry and I say, hey, I've been praying for you and this is what I think. If it's from the Lord, it's going to quicken his spirit. I don't need to tell him that God told me. Trust God. And don't be weird. My goodness, just don't be weird. Can we all just say amen to that? Like, just don't be weird. Don't be weird. Like, don't be that guy or that girl. Don't use crazy, weird language. Just be a person that somebody would actually want to hear from, actually would want to be a friend with. Be normal. And I know that's hard for some of us. But as best you know how, don't be weird. Second thing here is don't speak more than you have received. Like sometimes we receive a word from God, but it's not like the full scenario. And sometimes we like to fill in the gaps. And I'm gonna tell you, don't speak more than God speaks to you. Don't jump into that temptation, because we'll muddy the water more than anything else. Only share what God has given you. Third thing is don't dishonor the person or try to control the outcome. Our job is to be humble messengers. You can't sit there and try to dictate how somebody's gonna respond to what you share with them. Don't try to control it. You be obedient, you share, and let the Holy Spirit quicken in them and do what he wants in them. So here's a couple quick things of what to do. Here's some do's. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. Ask for God to give you a word for somebody else. Ask him for that, that you would encourage and uplift the body of Christ. Number two, this one's important. Be aware of your motives before sharing anything. And this will preach all day long. When in doubt, what? Shut your mouth. That applies to everything we're ever gonna talk about in the church. When you're in doubt of your motives, if you feel like there's a selfish motive, if you feel like you're trying to manipulate a situation, shut your mouth. It's not from God. He'll speak what he needs to that person. He doesn't have to do it through you. So if you're like, man, I'm trying to get this person to do something or get something out of it, just don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. The third real quick practical is operate with obedience and keep listening. Once I hear from God, that doesn't mean I shut down my ears. Once I hear from God and begin to walk with God and follow God, I've got to keep listening, right? Now here's the thing, is prophecy. And maybe you're stirring up and like, man, that sounds way better than that weird thing that one church does down the road. Like that, this is a really natural thing in the body of Christ when done, aligned with Jesus and led by the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, where prophecy is birthed is in relationship. So if you're like, man, I wanna prophesy, I wanna be a person that encourages other people, I wanna hear God, I wanna speak, I'm gonna tell you, it goes back to your relationship with God. And as Eric told us a couple weeks ago, our relationship with God is dependent on us hearing God and speaking to God, all right? So to hear God, to be in relationship with God, then I can operate in this incredible gift. And the last thing I want you to write down is that the scriptures make it clear, Old Testament to New, that prophecy is for everyone. Everybody say all again, all. What did Moses say? All flesh. What did Joel say? All flesh. What did Peter say was happening? All flesh. And here's what Paul says. I want to close on this because this is so important for us to see. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:31, he says, for you can all, same word that Joel used when it was translated in the Greek, same word, P-A-S, that all would prophesy one by one so that we may learn and be encouraged. I want to encourage you, all of us in this room can prophesy. It's not just for a prophet. All of us, you know why we all can prophesy? It's because we believe that we can all hear from God. And if you can hear from God, then you can hear from God and you can encourage and upbuild somebody else. Now I want to paint a picture here before we get to this last song here. Imagine that we as a church embrace this gift from the Holy Spirit. Just imagine that. Imagine if we were people that prayed for our coworkers, that prayed for our family members, that prayed for our neighborhoods. And as we prayed, we asked God, God, how can I encourage them? How can I build them up? How can I comfort them? And as the Lord speaks to us and as he impresses things or as he shows us things, we speak that out. Imagine what would change in your homes. I'm telling you, it's a good gift. Imagine what would change in your workplace. Imagine what would change in our region is just us as this little church. If we said, God, would you speak to me so that I can encourage other people, so that I can build other people up, so that I can comfort people? And I'm telling you, it will change our region for the glory of Jesus. All of us can prophesy, but it begins with a relationship with Jesus, asking him and stepping out in faith to share what he shares with you. We're going to stand right now and we're going to sing one last song that talks about the Spirit leading us. It's one of my favorite songs because it talks about the Spirit leading us in all different ways, especially when we don't understand it. And so let's sing this song as we close out the service.